Reformation of Ummah, Ummah. Reformation of Ummah, Ummah. Reformation of Ummah, Ummah.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Anbiya wal Mursaleen. Amma ba'd, fa a'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajeem. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله، الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله، الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله، وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. الحمد لله رب العالمين. I am accompanied by our standard feature, should I say, our beloved honorable مولانا زياد مدني حفظه الله. الحمد لله رب العالمين. Yes, I mentioned he has become a standard feature, and that means that he is part of this program, Alhamdulillah. Today I am accompanied with his presence, Alhamdulillah. We have him here with us. And together with him, we have a very important discussion to cover, and that is the etiquettes of masajid. Mm-hmm. Dear viewers, it's my humble appeal and request to our viewers out there to kindly watch today's program, inshallah, azza wa jal, for the sake and for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I'm most certain that you will accumulate many beautiful Madani pearls after tonight's discussion, which will aid and help you to understand what is the sanctity and the etiquettes of the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If possible, and if the situation was such that you were at a place where you have noticed the things that what we are going to discuss today, inshallah azza wa jalla, most probably you would then know exactly what to do and how to go about, inshallah azza wa jalla. The very first question, since we are discussing etiquettes of Masjid Mawlana Sahib, mashallah, Mawasa wasn't even around. How was your trip to Cape Town, ya Sayyidi?
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, it was well. And Allah has blessed me also to visit many masajid there.
Allahu
as well, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Allah bless me. Since we're discussing masjid, the first masjid in South Africa was built in Cape Town. Then Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Allah blessed me to visit that masjid as
well.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. So there were various masajid and various mazarat awliya, Alhamdulillah.
Is it a very old masjid or is it revamped?
No. It's actually very old initially, but in today's time it has been revamped. So if you look at it today, it has all the, you know, the modern designs, beautiful carpets and beautiful, you know, structure within the masjid as well. Yes. However, the foundation of the masjid, is building of the masjid, had taken place very long ago. But Alhamdulillah.
Subhanallah. I know for Islami brother, mashallah, Mawlana Sahib traveled to Cape Town and you visited the first masjid, subhanallah.
Alhamdulillah.
I met an Islami brother yesterday who returned from China.
Right.
And he says that he went to visit Uni Masajid.
Wow.
With the niyat of traveling to the most ancient masajid.
Wow.
And he says he backdated one masjid over there over 800 to 900 years.
Wow. Subhanallah. Amazing.
And subhanallah, the structuring, the way the masjid is kept, subhanallah. In those days, what they would do to keep the masajid beautified and, you know, with the architectural skills and all of that, it's so different as compared to how we keep our masajid. But mashallah, we have been to Pakistan, been to other countries of the world, and we see that every country have their own andaz of building masajid.
Yes, Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. In Pakistan, I have noticed all masajid, all even homes as well, they have a rooftop type of a thingy. In our country, mashallah, the roof is something like this. Should we say mostly any masajid you see, masjid you see, they are built in a way where the rainwater just flows back down.
Yes.
And there are masjids as well where we have rooftops. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, for many other purposes, but the norm and the system in our country is such.
Mm-hmm.
So has Mawlana Sahib ever been involved in any building of masjid from inception, from the very beginning, being involved in erecting and building and making that masjid stand?
Yes, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, this is Allah's rahmah upon us through Dawat Islam, that Allah Ta'ala blessed us with Dawat Islami, and then Alhamdulillah, within Dawat Islami, we have the good fortune of partaking in the building of masajid. So via Dawat Islami, Alhamdulillah, I have also been part of the building of masajid. And mashallah, Dawat Islami constructs approximately 600 masajid a year around the world. So Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, there's great opportunity for everyone. And it's encouraged that we should partake in the building and in the upkeep of the masjid. All of these things are important. Building the masjid, contributing via your finance for the building of the masjid, via your time as well, and the upkeep of the masjid, meaning ensuring that everything is well, and very importantly, if there is a masjid in your locality or you've managed to be part of building a masjid, then to make sure that you attend that masjid, you are part of that masjid, you attend congregational salah for the menfolk, that you attend congregational salah in the masjid, and for womenfolk, It's very simple for you, subhanAllah. You encourage your menfolk to go to the masjid and you also receive the thawab.
MashaAllah. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Yani, even our sisters would read and perform their salahs at their homes and they will gain so much of reward and thawab.
Yes, still, but they are getting thawab for performing their salah in the place that is best for them to perform salah. And at the same time, imagine just for sending or encouraging your menfolk that go to the masjid and perform salah with jama'ah. Just for the sake of that encouragement, you're going to earn thawab. It's a wonderful opportunity.
Yeah, subhanallah, subhanallah. Acha. A question, Ya Sayyidi, is that we see in our vicinities, in our areas, we find masajid that have very poor maintenance. And the shocking part is that there are many wealthy people that attend, you know, they would visit such masajid on Jummah days at least. If not Jummah days, they go for other salahs as well. But the sad part is that we see masajid that needs attention. I'm speaking about wudu khana area, bathrooms. They need maintenance. Carpets are torn. They are smelling. Sometimes they have a lot of damp smell coming from them and they become quite old. But the thing is that a lot of motivation is needed behind it. You know, please help to raise some funds, to raise some funds to fix the wudu khana, to fix the carpet area section. And to be honest to you, if all Muslims had enthusiasm and jazba to make sure that the house of Allah is always tip-top, better than my own house, the house of Allah must look even more stunning, beautiful, fragrance must be emanating from there, subhanAllah, all the time, Sayyidi, then this means that we are really upkeeping and taking care of the house of Allah. But in your observation, have you passed this, Ya Sayyidi, where we see poor cleanliness, neglect of maintenance, things like that?
I have seen that, and it's very unfortunate when we see that. Sometimes you come to a masjid where you see that the carpets haven't been taken care of. They're very old. They've become faded, or they've gotten torn. Windows broken, walls not painted, etc. This is very sad. It's a very poor reflection, actually. This is something we should pay attention to, that the condition of our local masjid is a good reflection on how the Muslims of that area are. That if you go to the masjid and you find that the masjid is beautiful, is taken care of, is kept clean, they didn't allow any impurity to enter the masjid, they ensured that the masjid is well lit, that it's fragrant, then alhamdulillah, you have an idea that this is a clean community. This is a community that takes care even of their homes. And then if you go to that masjid and you find that that masjid is abad as well, that many people come for salah, then you also have that reflection upon the community that this is a religious community, that they love the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That means it's a pious community, a religious community. And if you go to a masjid and you find that there are no people in the masjid to perform salah, then there's fear that this is not a religious community. If you find that the masjid is not taken care of, then the question, you know, stands that if the masjid is not taken care of, then what is the condition of the homes of those people? That if you could not take care of the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you are blessed with to have in your area, and that is not taken care of, then how is it that your homes are expected to be clean and to be in good condition?
SubhanAllah, for the sake of motivation, Mu'asab has any waqiyah or story or narration or hadith that will give us some enthusiasm and jazba to, you know, always be in the forefront for the upkeeping of the masjid.
SubhanAllah.
In terms of, you know, things being smelling nice, mashallah, there's all this fragrance and there's no dirt in the masjid. Any waqiyah, any hadith?
Actually, there are beautiful narrations regarding keeping the masjid well as well. SubhanAllah, meaning looking after the masjid. There's a sahabiyah, a lady, sahabi, radiallahu anha, that she was in the time of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. She would, her work, what she used to dedicate her time towards was to ensure that the masjid is kept clean. She was the lady who kept the masjid clean. SubhanAllah, the masjid was clean and she would constantly ensure that it is well kept. So after some time, as time went and she continued doing this, then she passed away. And the Sahaba ikram, they performed her janazah salah, they buried her. They didn't think very much of her, but At one point, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed by her qabr and asked, "Whose qabr is this?" And they said that it is the qabr of Umm Mihjan. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Is this the lady who used to clean the masjid?" And the Sahaba ikram said, "Yes, it's the same lady." So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded the Sahaba ikram to form rows, and he sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed her janazah salah at her qabr. SubhanAllah, Azza wa Jal, this was her way, and this had benefited her immensely in the qabr. So anyone who is upkeeping the masjid, whether it, and upkeeping the masjid can be in many ways. You can try to ensure that the masjid is clean. you could try to ensure that the light bill and the water bill of the masjid is paid. You can even just try to ensure that you take care of the cleanliness of the masjid by yourself not desecrating the honor of the masjid, not dropping water on the floor of the masjid. And our pious predecessors wouldn't drop water on the floor of the masjid. Ensure that your limbs are not so wet that they will cause dampness in the masjid. So these are all important things. I'm just mentioning that at that time, women folk used to attend, they used to come to the masjid, but there came a time in the time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala that he stopped this, and people took this to Aisha radiallahu ta'ala and she mentioned that yes, women folk used to go to the masjid in the earlier times of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but with the fitnas that had spread, even if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was still hayat, meaning if the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not, if it wasn't before his wafat, before his passing, then he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would have also stopped the woman from attending the masjid. Allah. Because the fitnas had become rife. And if the time of Umar radiallahu ta'ala, if the fitnas have become rife at that time, then imagine in today's time. So thus our ulama ikram do not permit for ladies to go and attend the masjid. They encourage that ladies should perform salah at home instead of attending the masjid. But nonetheless, this is from the earlier period, and therefore they would attend, and this lady has such a noble maqam because she took care of the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Subhanallah. Look at her maqam. Wow. That the Aqa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performs at janazah. All these things show how fortunate are those brothers and sisters, mashallah, who spend their money on the masajid.
Alhamdulillah.
Subhanallah. Mubarak to our brothers and our sisters and all to those people, mashallah, who donate towards the house of Allah, for the upkeeping of the house of Allah. It could be lights and water, because musallis make wudu in the masjid, subhanallah. Lights are used because in the dark you would not perform salah. We need lights for people to see how they are entering the masjid, so on and so forth. For whatever intention you are giving in the path of Allah, for the house of Allah, if you have invested your money in decorating the masjid, our dua is that Allah may decorate your qabr for you, inshallah.
Ameen. Subhanallah.
And your akhirah for you, inshallah, azza wa jalla. May He beautify it for you.
Alhamdulillah.
Subhanallah. Yes, dear viewers, if you keep the house of Allah clean, inshallah, azza wa jalla, your heart, your qabr, and the akhirah will be happier for you. Yani it will be easier for you, inshallah, azza wa jalla. Inshallah, it is hope from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Acha, if we know of the masjid infrastructure being damaged, for example, lights, fans, air conditioners, then why not offer your service, offer yourself. Go forward, inshallah, azza wa jalla, and have it repaired if you can do it by yourself, inshallah. Don't look for name and fame. My name has to be announced at the front. So and so, fix the fan. Fix the fan with the niyat of musallis getting some air and some cool breeze during hot weather, so that in the qabr, which is the world's most darkest and loneliest home, most horrifying and most hottest place, you shall receive the breeze of Jannah, inshallah. With this niyat. And Allah Azza wa Jalla is the one who sees the niyyah. For His pleasure, you do it, inshallah, and you shall see how much of benefits will come to you. Another question, Maulana Sahib, is that we have this noise and disruption problem, children running around, shouting with no supervision, loud talking in the prayer, before the salah itself, then in the hall area. Then you see musallis always chit-chatting between adhan and iqamah. If there's a 10-minute gap, there's four musallis talking. This is something which we just can't get over and we can't understand as to how do we put an end to this.
We need to understand and keep in mind the adab of the masjid, the etiquettes of the masjid. The masjid is not a place for talking. Worldly talk in the masjid is not allowed. Laughing in the masjid is not allowed. Even searching for lost goods in the masjid is not allowed. There's a hadith that I read some time back that there was someone that asked in the masjid, he asked that, did anyone see my camel? I lost my camel. He made that announcement in the masjid. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, may you not find it. Because the masjid has not been built for this. The masjid has been built for ibadah, not to search for lost goods. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam actually told the sahaba ikram that if someone searches for their lost goods in the masjid, then give them that dua. Tell them, may you not find it, for indeed the masajid have not been built for this. Masajid have been built for ibadah. So if masajid are built for ibadah, now just chit-chatting and talking and speaking loudly and doing things that just waste time and cause disruption, all of this is not allowed at the masjid. And when musallis know that I've left my house for the sake of the pleasure of Allah, to earn thawab, so you only have a little while that you are spending in masajid. People usually come to the masjid around the time of adhan. And they leave the masjid after they fard salah, after they perform their sunnah ba'diyah, their sunnah after the salah. It's a short period of time in the masjid. Right. We shouldn't waste that time.
Right.
We should use that time for the sake of the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla to earn thawab. Also, we have the problem of children making lots of noise in the masjid. We are not supposed to just bring little children, leaving them unsupervised and let them make lots of noise in the masjid. This is not allowed because we have other people who are performing salah as well. And therefore, yes, if the child is of age and the child will listen to you, alhamdulillah, then you can advise the child and then they will not make noise, inshallah, in the masjid. But if there's any chance of a child causing impurity to reach the masjid, to reach the floor of the masjid, then it is not allowed to bring such a child into the masjid. So parents should also think that if my child is going to miss the masjid, I shouldn't have my child brought to the masjid. If I do have a young child in the masjid, or if a child is brought to the masjid, then I need to ensure that the child is not going to cause disturbance to other musallis. He's not going to cause lots of noise and trouble in the masjid as well. And how is it that we are going to ensure that our children do not desecrate the honor of the masjid and we ourselves are loud in the masjid?
Mm-hmm.
So ensure that we are not loud in the masjid. You know, the shoe area, usually that is just before the main masjid, that's like a hallway. That's where very loud conversations tend to happen. People speak so loudly in that hallway that the noise travels into the masjid. This is also not allowed.
Okay.
Our ulama ikram mentioned that even if you want to light incense sticks, light the incense stick and it gives off a beautiful fragrance. Right. MashaAllah. So they have various fragrances. So even that, you know, if you light a match, it gives off the smell of gunpowder.
Mm.
So ulama ikram advise, light the match away from the masjid in such a way that scent from the match doesn't go into the masjid. And then light the incense stick and then take the incense stick into the masjid, because save the masjid from bad smell.
So even passing air?
Yes, passing wind in the masjid, also this is not allowed. It's prohibited. Our ulama ikram mentioned, it's prohibited to pass wind intentionally in the masjid, because you cause discomfort to the malaika as well.
Allahu Akbar.
Masajid are places that the malaika of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also frequent. They spend time in the masjid. And then there are musallis also. So anything which causes difficulty to the musallis or the malaika, that should not be taking place in the
masjid. And we're not going to just restrict this to passing wind, dear viewers, but rather more often than passing wind is the fact that people eat garlic and stuff that give that mouth smell, and the person will burp like three safs away and the smell can still reach the imam of the masjid, you know.
Yes.
And this is because of what we eat and how much we eat. Our digestive system is all messed up, Mulana. And the things that we eat make the mouth give out those bad odors, you know.
Yes.
The bad smell that emanates from the mouth is due to what we eat and how we brush and keep our mouth thoroughly clean. But this is a major problem.
A major problem. Actually, while we're discussing that, Rasulullah ﷺ prohibited raw garlic and raw onions and then coming with that smell into the masjid.
Mm.
This same ruling is also for all those things that have a bad smell. All bad smells need to be kept away from the masjid. Now, we have a common difficulty that I've noticed here within South Africa and maybe in some other parts of the world as well. Certain things have bad smells. For example, some people smoke cigarettes. Now, if people smoke cigarettes, then the cigarette has a bad smell. And therefore, a bad smell emanates from the mouth and also is caught onto the clothing. If somebody does smoke, firstly, it's better to stay away from that. But if someone does smoke, now it's encouraged or it's actually necessary upon that person. But if that smell is still in your mouth, you need to rid yourself of the smell of that cigarette from the mouth and from the clothing. Whether it be to apply some itr, to apply some perfume on the clothing, and also to wash the mouth, to clean the mouth, or to brush the mouth, you can use something in order to give the mouth a better smell.
Okay.
And then enter the masjid so that you save the masjid from bad smells.
Subhanallah. Very beautifully you explained that, Mawlana Sahib. Allah Kareem give us tawfiq to practice upon these Madani pearls, because mashallah, there are some fortunate brothers who love the masajid.
Alhamdulillah.
We often see them in the masajid, subhanallah, and how much martaba and their ranks are, Mawlana Sahib, we have no idea. But there's a lot of sawab and a lot of rewards, mashallah, for those who are really in love with the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Alhamdulillah. Huzur, while you're discussing this, I just want to mention as
please mention it.
Sometimes we have, mashallah, people who spend lots of time in the masjid. They want to give a lot of time to the masjid and they spend lots of time in the masjid. And we have hope that their ranks are raised and very high. Also, I personally notice something. That sometimes people give a lot of time, they spend a lot of time in the masjid, but they use that time to become complainers.
Allah.
That they will try to complain about every little thing that they can complain about. That, oh, I saw this certain thing happen. Oh, Imam Sahib entered with the wrong foot. Okay, this Muazzin Sahib, he did like this. This person did like that. That person did like this. This is not right. Why is this light on? Why is this light off? Why is this? Why is that? So they just become complainers. Now understand that we are frequenting masajid in order to earn thawab. If we are going to frequent masajid and then become backbiters, then we are not earning thawab. Instead, we are causing difficulty for our own akhirah. We want to frequent masajid to earn thawab. But if we are going to go there and insult and scold everyone and hurt their feelings and make them feel bad, then we are going to earn the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you frequent masajid, Mubarak, frequent it. But keep in mind that I'm here to earn the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm not here to try to find fault in everyone.
But so, if something is really genuine and noticed, where should the complaint go to?
I think if something is genuine and noticed, number one is, firstly, can you manage to fix it yourself? That's the first step. If you can manage to fix it, work towards fixing it, not towards complaining. Secondly, if you can't fix it yourself, but so you want to give a complaint, so understand that your complaint is not a complaint. It is trying to work towards fixing it, since you can't fix it yourself. So only speak to those who can fix the problem.
Wow.
So if you have, let's say, a trustee of the masjid, you have the imam of the masjid, so go in privacy. In private, go and discuss with them that this here is a problem and I can't manage to fix it myself. What can we do to try to fix it? So inshallah azza wa jal, if you work in that way, then you're going to get positive results. But the unfortunate thing is, too many times people don't want that something be fixed. They want to complain. They want the enjoyment of complaining. Ensure that we don't fall into this trap. This is a trap of shaitan that is just making us ungrateful beings, making us complain about everything. Don't fall into that trap. If you are going to complain about something, don't do it with the niyat of complaining. Do it with the niyat of bringing about betterment, bringing about change. Then inshallah,
subhanallah,
even if that changes and positivity comes in, you can also earn thawab through that.
Subhanallah, subhanallah, mashaAllah. So we have clarified so many matters already, alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Trust me, Mawlana Sahib, there are some masajid that have been built like 25, 30 years back.
Mm-hmm.
And besides the physical maintenance, which never happens in a hurry, they still have all of these problems attached to it, you know. So as it is, when you enter the masjid, you're supposed to have a welcoming feeling. The house of Allah smells nice, feels nice. But unfortunately, we have brothers who have the money on hand, but nothing is happening. And then over and above, we have these problems where when you enter, from the very entrance, you see shoes scattered all over. Sometimes there'll be a shoe shelf for you to place your shoes into the shelf.
Right.
Lekin ab jamaat mein bhagna hai na, jamaat ke liye rush kar rahe hai. Banda ek to der se aaya bhi hai, came in late. And then when we come in late now, we want to make sure that we get that first rakat. So the shoes, one is flying this side, one is flying that side. Maybe you're stamping over someone else's shoes or chappal, sandals, whatever it may be. Upar se agar barish ka din hua, if it's a raining weather, and the person comes with his shoes all wet and muddy, and then he would leave some traces wherever he goes over other people's shoes. And this happens. We see it happening. So if you notice the socks has a smell, the shoe has a smell, a damp smell, especially in raining weather, kindly wash your get your feet washed. Remove the socks, then enter the masjid. You're talking about garlic and ginger and raw onions and cigarette smells. Do you know sock smell is another killer altogether? With all due respect, astaghfirullah, whether it be your home, whether it be the masjid, but the house of Allah has to be actually, more precautions should be taken,
yes,
you know?
Absolutely.
Another major issue we have, and this is especially with the youth, and I'm saying this again, especially with the youth. I don't see elderly people in this category, but yes, you might find a few. Whether it's UK, whether it's South Africa, whether it's America, anywhere in the world you go, you'll find this problem. What is the problem? Brothers who dress very casual or improper. And they come in with such clothes, with the t-shirt, for example, a shirt and pants. But the shirt was so short. So this is actually a major problem that we have in society. And many a times it's addressed that, you know, brother, there's such a aura, because from your navel to below your knee, this is the area which always has to be covered.
Absolutely.
That if we have shirts, we have jackets and jerseys that have brands or have messages on it, statements on it. And sometimes it could be very disturbing statements, you know, especially youngsters, as I'm saying, the youth, the youngsters, the teenage guys, boys out there, they would use shirts and some type of a message on it. And sometimes you go to the masjid with the same message. That brother is forgetting which surah he's reciting, because he's, instead of reading the surah, he's reading the message. This happens at times, you know. So this is where an area that we should cover. And with regards to the satr-e-awra, I think, Mawlana Sahib, we should you know, implement this rule that whenever we go to the masjid, the niyat should be that we use long qamis, long shirts.
Absolutely.
Every youngster out there, or whoever the brother is that you use t-shirts and go to the masjid, try to dress in such a uniform. You know, I read some statement about Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala.
Yes.
When he would go to the house of Allah, to the masjid, subhanallah, from his cloak, from his kurta mubarak, kurta sharif, his imama sharif, all of this, subhanallah, used to be elegant, outstanding.
Yes.
In fact, the price of his imama was around 1,500 dirhams. Allahu Akbar, 1,500 dirhams was only the imama sharif. And why are we adding the price to it? Because ulama has mentioned that he would use the best of his garments and clothes and attire because he's in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here, as even once I saw in Madini Mudakira, Amir Ahl Sunnah was giving beautiful Madini pearls about how people just stand with their nighties, with their pajamas, PJs, you know. Jis kapde ke saath hum sone ja rahe hain, usi kapde ke saath hum namaz ke liye khade hote hain. And you are standing in whose bargah? You are standing in the court of Allah. Hum ye sochte hain ki log hame nahi dekh rahe hain, people can't see me. But for whom you are performing the salah, he is the watching you, right?
Subhanallah.
The one for whom you are performing the salah, Allah is watching you. Yeah, theek hai, your neighbors can't see you, other people can't see you, who will call you, hey, what happened to you? But the one for whom you perform the salah, he is watching you and he knows every movement of yours. So here Maa Sahib, some Madini pearls about this.
Actually, I want to mention something that I've seen that was inspiring as well. I saw people that they have this usual clothes that they work in, right? And that means whatever kind of uniform they have to wear, that they usually have to work in, especially those who are doing physical work.
Right.
So it might become
hard labor and stuff.
Yes. Yeah. So, but I've seen people that despite having their work clothes, they carry a special garment or a jubba, something they can put over themselves,
right,
so that they look good, they look smart when it comes to the time of salah.
Okay.
So throughout the day, they'll be working and they'll be going through, you know, they tire some labor. But when it comes to the time of salah, subhanallah, azza wa jal, they prepare themselves in such a way and they'll put on over whatever garment they can, whatever garment they've bought specifically for that, and they will go and stand in salah. You would not imagine or you wouldn't think that this person is involved in a hard labor work. Because, mashallah, azza wa jal, he's so well covered and he's looking so smart. So these are people that prepared themselves, mashallah, knowing that I'm going to stand in the court of my Rabb. You're leaving the home in the morning, isn't it? You're leaving your home maybe after your Salat al-Fajr, etc. You've gone to work. You know that I have Dhuhr out when I'm out of the house. I have Asr. Sometimes I might even have Maghrib being out of the house. So if these salahs are going to come, then in what condition am I going to perform those salahs? The fact that you prepared yourself for this, this shows that you're taking pride in standing in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla. You're looking after yourself that when I go and to go to the court of my Rabb, when I go to the masjid, I'm going to be in the best of conditions. Even though outside the house of Allah, I have to work hard, I have to be in my labor clothing.
Right.
But when I enter the house of Allah, I'm going to be standing in the court of the King of Kings.
Kya baat hai, subhanallah, subhanallah. Inshallah, whenever I'm going to go to the masjid, I'm going to have this Madani pearl behind my mind, Maulana Sahib, mashallah. Very attractive, very nice way that you mentioned it. And yes, dear viewers, when you're standing in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla, be very certain that He's watching you. Because when you performed your salah, it's supposed to be such that you are seeing your Rabb, your Creator, Allah Azza wa Jalla. And if one cannot imagine that, be rest assured that Allah is watching you.
Subhanallah.
Allahu Akbar. And in the best of attires. So doing this for the sake of Allah, Allah Kareem knows your niyat, right? We always adorn ourselves for public, going to work, you want to look smart, you want to look nice.
Mm-hmm.
But if the niyat changes, that not for public, for my Rabb, I want to look nice.
Subhanallah.
Hi, 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 hi. Wow. We'll see the blessings of this, inshallah.
Inshallah.
And another problem we have.
Right.
And this problem, Ya Sayyidi, is that Alhamdulillah, brother, mashallah, is making it to the masjid. But he has a problem of blocking driveways and not parking his car correctly. Do you have the problem where Masab is based?
We do have it from time to time, and I receive complaints about this as well. Sometimes people go to the masjid, but like how Maulana Sahib mentioned, it's the people that often it's because of coming late that people become inconsiderate. So if someone's coming in late, then they're stamping on other people's shoes, then they're throwing their shoes at the entrance of the masjid and going in, not placing shoes on the shoe rack where it's supposed to be placed. Like here in South Africa, you have shoe racks where you place your shoes. I think in many other countries as well, that you have shoe racks and you should be placing your shoes there. They just stick it around. And you'll find majority of the shoes sometimes in front of the masjid door. So people must stumble over those shoes in order to get in and out of the masjid.
And not only stumble, sometimes some people use the wrong people's shoe and go away in the rush.
Yes.
Many times it happened, Masab, that I end up using someone else's shoe because my shoe was used by somebody else and he was gone.
Yes, no, this is a problem as well. Yes. Sometimes people
did it happen to Mosab as well?
Unfortunately, yes. People want to use the bathroom and they'll take your shoe and go to the bathroom. Now, this is not allowed because you haven't taken ijazah from the person and someone's going to get upset that I came out and I can't find my shoes. Right. And so we must ensure that we don't use other people's belongings. Now, the same type of people who are inconsiderate because they have come in late are often inconsiderate as to where they're going to park their vehicles as well.
Okay.
So here you have people coming from far and wide to the masjid. But once some parking has been taken up, then people park their cars in such a way that it's blocking someone's driveway, that it's blocking someone else's car. And it causes difficulty to people. People have emergencies, they need to leave their home. Someone is the neighbor of the masjid. Alhamdulillah, he's so grateful, he's so happy that he purchased a house or is renting a house next to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, next to the masjid. Yeah. And he gets to go for salah often. But now he's inconvenienced by other musallis because they park in his driveway and now when he has an emergency, he can't go out.
Allah.
So what are we doing? We're actually placing difficulty upon these people. The person who was supposed to say, Alhamdulillah, I'm living next to the masjid. Now he holds his head and says, I live next to the masjid and so everyone blocks my driveway.
Allah.
So we shouldn't be the cause of this. And in South Africa, you have non-Muslims as well, people who aren't Muslims and they are living around masajid sometimes. If we are going to show them bad etiquettes, that we're going to block their driveways, etc., we're not going to be inviting towards Islam. We're not inviting them. We need to show them good etiquettes. We need to ensure that we don't block their driveways. We need to ensure that we treat them well so that they believe that these worshippers, these people who come to perform their salah, to come to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they're very good people. This prayer is bringing some good to them. Let me also be inclined towards it.
MashaAllah. Alhamdulillah. The committee should rather employ a guard maybe.
Yes,
that's also another solution as well. Yeah. So if the committee of the masjid can employ some person, at least on the main congregational day, which is Friday, because usually all masajid have a bigger crowd on a Friday, right? If it's possible, employ some person who's responsible in charge of making sure people park their vehicles correctly, because this really inconveniences people, Ma'an Sahib.
Yes.
And I have seen people losing their tempers, losing their minds, and going into the fit of anger and yelling and quarreling on a matter of blocking someone's driveway because people have emergencies. And at times, musallis are in salah. They're not going to break the salah to go and move the car. That person doesn't know whose car it is in the first place.
Yes.
So, inshallah, please, we should be very, very considerate about this as well, inshallah, azza wa jalla. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. All of this is basically done to better our environment. If the house of Allah azza wa jalla is kept properly, neat, tidy, clean, purified, and not as we have just discussed now, then trust me, brothers, inshallah, azza wa jalla, the masjid will be very attractive for the youth as well.
Yes.
Jiha. It will be very much attractive for the youth. And mashallah, there are some masjids, some people in the area, they are extra happy and they show their happiness in very mubarak occasions like Rabiul Nur Sharif. Mashallah, they decorate the masjid so well.
Alhamdulillah.
Inside, outside. Rabiul Akhir, mashallah, is decorated as well.
Alhamdulillah.
Good stuff. Mashallah, all these things makes your masjid attractive. Really speaking, the house of Allah should always be better than our own home.
Absolutely.
What facilities the masjid should have, even if our houses don't have it, there's no big deal about it. There's no big problem. But unfortunately, it's the opposite. We'll have the best of heaters, fans, aircons, beds, name it, in our homes. But the place where you are worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal, that's the place where Munasab, you find that it's too hot. The person is sweating. He can't stand in salah because there's not one fan there. Mm. I have read masjid namazes in some other countries where you can't even stand for 2 minutes. And we use in our country, for example, somebody travels to another, for example, to the Middle East, and you perform salah in the masjid over there. In Makkah Sharif, Madina Sharif, mashallah. Uski to baat hi kuch aur hai. When you're in Madina Tul Munawwara, subhanallah, or Makkah Tul Mukarrama. But other countries like Pakistan as well, that it's quite heated in some areas. And South Africans really can't tolerate the heat there. Mohasab also traveled quite a few times, alhamdulillah. But we see, mashallah, people at that area, for the musallis of that area, understand the nature of the people and they work accordingly. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. So we should be working around this, Mulana Sahib. And now, mashallah, Mulana Sahib covered the backbiting part, the ghibat part, the wrongs that happen. Can Mulana Sahib shed some light with regards to some brothers who come to the masjid? They come in with some hectic ringtones. And sometimes those ringtones give you different message in salah at times, The new ringtones, one ringtone is about, answer your call, answer your call. And some other words added to it. So the person speaks, answer your call, and this is set as a ringtone for the person.
Right.
And in Salah now, people are giggling and laughing, and youngsters are joking with each other about the ringtone of people. People do not remember to put their phones on silent, Ya Sayyidi.
Yes.
So now Islam's mahul is that the muazzin, before iqamah, he presents the call towards righteousness, neki ki dawat, and then he also mentions some good points where we don't get guna and sin.
Mm.
And he says, please kindly remember to switch off your cell phones, put them on silent. But unfortunately, many a times when that phone rings during Salah, it messes up everything wrong.
Mm. It does trouble people when phones ring during Salah, and therefore you'll find signs in Masajid sometimes at the entrance of Masajid that kindly switch your cell phone off or put them on silent. That's because cell phones ringing causes distraction to people during their Salah. That whilst they're performing Salah and they're listening to the Qira'ah of the Imam, or they're focused in their Salah, but unfortunately one cell phone rings, another cell phone rings, and the environment is disturbed. Therefore, ensure that we do switch our cell phones off, or at least we have them on silent. I've seen some people that, mashallah, when they go for Salah, they try not to even take their cell phones with you. If they're coming from home, they leave their cell phone at home. And
I have seen brothers with
that. Yes, alhamdulillah. For what reason? Because I don't want distraction. So in order to not make you rush your salah, it's better not even to have it on that. But if someone has it on vibrate, though, it's not a major problem. It's better if you didn't. But ringtones, whatever the type of ringtone, it's going to become a distraction. Even if someone thinks, okay, I'm playing something good on my ringtone, but still then it can become a distraction when you're in salah. So try not to have your phone, you know, on loud or where the ringtone is going to play. At the same time, one more point for others that are all musallis, alhamdulillah, at masajid. If someone's phone does ring in the masjid, already he feels embarrassed because Muadhin Sahib may have made the announcement. Everyone knows there are signs at the masjid to put your phone on silence. Already they're feeling embarrassed. Now, beyond that, it's not our duty to now go and embarrass them further. That after salah to say, whose phone was ringing in the masjid? Who was disturbing us? He feels embarrassed already.
Well, everybody turns in one direction, you know, from where the ringtone was coming.
When we're doing that, we are embarrassing the person even further. Our hope was that he no longer has the phone on loud. It happened to him once and he's afraid of it, that he felt embarrassed. So now, inshallah, he'll change that way. But if we're going to make him feel further embarrassed and scold him, he might avoid the masjid. So whatever we do, if someone does something wrong at the masjid, don't do something to retaliate in such a way that you chase them from the masjid. The same advice for elders towards youngsters. Youngsters make mistakes. They make mistakes. Sometimes they might enter the masjid wearing clothes that were not really suitable for the environment. Sometimes they might have been a little loud. Sometimes something could have happened. They could have done something, could have spoken loudly. Their phone could have rang. Something which wasn't suitable. But at the same time, how we speak to them must be such that it encourages them towards good, meaning away from the bad, and stay in touch with the masjid. But if we scold them very badly, then they're going to feel like the masjid is the place that if I go, I'm going to get a scolding. And then they will avoid the masajid. And then we will complain that youngsters don't come to the masjid. They don't come to the masjid because we made them avoid the masjid. So rather, encourage them in such a loving way. Amir al-Sunnat also encourages. So always correct with love, correct with affection, and correct in such a way that they feel motivated towards the masjid and they're not repelled or wanting to move away from the masjid.
MashaAllah. Alhamdulillah. So many gems and madani pearls Ma'azab has shared, MashaAllah. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. We hope that our brothers, and including myself, inshallah, we are all able to practice upon these madani pearls shared by our honorable Ziyad Madani Hafizahullah. Shukran Maulana Sahib for coming and for sharing so much of madani pearls with us for this evening. Alhamdulillah. And I will end with this note that inshallah Azza wa Jalla, we need to upgrade and we need to increase our programs in the masajid. Masjids should be the hub and the center place for all Muslims to always be at, inshallah Azza wa Jalla. Besides salah, this is supposed to be dhikru azkar, you know, circles and halkas of learning, teaching, tajweed, makharij, all these things are supposed to be happening every day. Some classes besides imamat, besides five daily prayers, there's so much of other activities that can happen in your masjid. So those who are in charge, the committee, the trust board, the members who run the masjid and the affairs of the masjid, conduct and have such programs for the youth, for such events which invites people on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, on a monthly basis, besides the Jumu'ah. And inshallah, in this way, we will keep our community and our people updated, inshallah, azza wa jalla. It's most important that we practice these Madani pearls. We say shukran once again to our honorable Maulana Sahib. Until then, keep reciting durood and salawat upon the most exalted Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Reformation of Ummah. Reformation of Ummah. Reformation.